May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me read a couple of verses before verse 14. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to emerge as children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's how you receive him, is by believing. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So just as a reminder again that when we look at some of these things, and the things I'm going to say to you is that we fully amen, as the church has for 2,000 years, that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. He's fully 100% God. But he also, when he chose to become human, became 100% human. He's not 50% and 50%, but 100% and 100%. But he lived, he took on humanity to be the second Adam. So he laid down his right to live as God and lived as second Adam, lived as our second representative. He lived as the second human to reveal to us a couple of things. He won, verse 18 says, that no man has seen God at any time, but Christ has revealed him. So he certainly came to reveal the truth about the Father. But the interesting thing is that he did that by becoming human. And in becoming human and living as a man, spirit-filled man, he revealed the truth about the Father. Because in doing so, he also revealed the truth about man. Because the truth about mankind is that we were created to reveal the truth about God. If you think about Genesis, you think about our creation, humanity's creation, is that God created us to share in all that he is, and he chose in that to desire to express or to reveal himself in human flesh, through human flesh, through union with human flesh. And so we were created to enjoy all that he is and participate in all that God is, but also to reveal his likeness because of our union with him. And so when Jesus came to get right and to reveal the truth about what Adam and Eve got wrong. You with me? That's why it said earlier John 1 that coming into the world, Jesus enlightened every human being. And so Jesus came into the world and enlightened humanity as to what humanity was originally meant to look like. I know I've said these things again and again, but kind of helps because sometimes I do. I'll get revelation in layers. Sometimes it's thin layers. It has to be multiple layers before I finally get it. But when you think about that, is that that Christ came to tell the truth about the Father, but he also came to reveal to us the truth about mankind and how we were intended to live. And so he didn't do anything on his own initiative. He said that. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, that God performed miracles and wonders and signs through him, that he was a man approved by God, through whom God performed signs and wonders. So when he says this amazing verse, this really familiar verse in chapter 1 that Bracken started with, it says this incarnational verse. It says the Word became flesh. Now the word, quote, word here, logos, literally just means the eternal thought of God. And so I've always been fascinated with the fact that Jesus, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but Jesus, whose Son, one of his names is Word, because one of his roles in the Godhead is to reveal the eternal thought of God. Not just words, but the eternal thought of God. And so he says here, the Word, Jesus, became flesh. What does that mean? He became a human. Did Christ, in his essence, stop being God? No. But God did clothe himself in humanity. We've talked about this so much since December when the Lord told me at the beginning of Advent, I want you to jump in the whole idea of the incarnation. I just want to teach you about it. And it's just, you never stop learning. It's the most fascinating thing in the world. The resurrection's stunning. The virgin birth, and I mean, so many things are stunning, but the fact that God loved you and me so much that to save us, he would become human is mind-blowing. Especially when you think about how this starts. In the beginning was that Word, and the Word was in a face-to-face relationship with the Father. Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's the word there, face to face, intimate face to face. And the Word was God. Wow. How many times have I heard people say things like, if I could just get out of this place, I'd get, whether it's Selma or some other place. And God's like going, I'm going to do what I have to do to get in this place, because it's the only way He can save us. We don't have time to talk about all that's involved in that, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But I want you to hear this. I don't mean this to be too detail-y, but this is the language the Holy Spirit chose to write the Bible in Greek. The preposition is this: the Word became flesh and dwelt in us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Wow. And think about what that says. The Word became flesh, human, and dwelt in our humanity. Adam, the reason that every human being is born guilty of sin under the condemnation of the law is that we were all in Adam. Romans 5 says that. He was our representative. And when he sinned, the whole human race and all the humans to come sinned in him. We were born guilty of his sin before we ever did our own sin. Christ was the second Adam, and he clothed himself in corporate humanity. It says in Romans 8, in the likeness of sinful flesh. So when Jesus came, like, you have all these different images of Jesus, but we don't have any real photographs, right? Jesus clothed himself in your humanity and my humanity and your humanity and every fallen person's humanity. Jesus clothed himself in our humanity. The Word became human and dwelt in us, and we beheld his glory. So Jesus came not to just be an example for us, but as the author and the perfecter of faith, to be an example of us. Not that we're Jesus and not that we're God, but we were created to share in his life. We were created to bear his image and reveal his likeness. So when it says the Word became flesh, human, we should just worship for hours at that thought, and dwelt in us. And we'll talk probably more about that tomorrow. And we beheld his glory. The glory that was lost in the first Adam and their fall in humanity was restored in Christ, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus came to tell the truth about the Father, and God's a God of grace. That's the truth. Jesus came and told the truth about the Father, and revealed the truth about the Father because he lived by grace, and grace came out of his mouth. So when you read a verse like John 16, I think it's 33, and Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, trials, and testing. How many of you can say amen to that one? But then Jesus says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And some CTKers, you've heard me say this before, but when I used to read that scripture, I'd go, well, whoop-de-doo, I'm glad you did, but I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about my issue and the people I'm having to deal with. In this world, you shall have tribulation, trials, and testing, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, knowing that you overcame the world, unless that touches me somehow, I mean, that makes me honor you for what you did, but it doesn't really help me out much. But what is Jesus saying? In my incarnation, I dwelt in you. It was your humanity. No matter what my human frame looked like, it was your humanity. And dressed in your humanity, we faced all these things and overcame them. And part of that was so that I can say to you, say to me and you, Chuck, Amelia, Donna, Mark, Dan, Maya, Lauren, there are things you're going to face in this fallen world. But clothed in your humanity, I've overcome this stuff before. So cheer up. Having proven that I can reveal God's glory through your humanity, we'll do it now that the body looks just like you. Cheer up. I've already proven to you that dressed in your humanity, we've overcome. That's encouraging. Amen? Now that's just one of the little bits about the incarnation. But it's significant that the Word who was God and was from the beginning became human and dwelt in our humanity. And he faced, at least in principle, in type, everything that you're ever going to face already. And he overcame without sinning. Not only that, he didn't not sin. He revealed the glory of God. He revealed the nature and the attributes of God. So be of good cheer. Whatever you're facing today, I've already proven that clothed in your humanity. Not only can we deal with it, not only can we overcome it, but we can reveal glory. We can reveal the likeness of God in this. That's the most exciting adventure in the world to me. And what happens, we don't just win. We don't just not sin anymore. We reveal glory. We start walking in glory. Our attitude starts displaying the nature and the character and the attributes of God. Okay? Wouldn't it be cool with whoever it is you're offended with this morning? Not only did you stop being offended with them and you got victory over the being offended, but you actually began to reveal the way God thinks about that person and how much he loves them. And that became the way you feel about them. That's glory. One's just squeaking by. The other one's glory. And when you live in glory, it's the most exciting thing in the world. It's so liberating. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.